Hi, everybody. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro with you on this Tuesday here in South Philadelphia. Hope you all had a great weekend. We certainly did here and started our week the right way on Monday at the 18th annual Eagles Playground Build. More on that in just a bit. Great show for you today. We take a step closer to the May 8th through May 10th NFL Draft. It just seems like it will never get here. Please hurry to next Thursday. We'll have full coverage for you, of course, here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Lots and lots coming up on the show. First things first, though, let's get you caught up on the headlines of the day for this Tuesday. Well, you heard Chip Kelly, Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman for the first time addressing the release of DeSean Jackson. Chip Kelly saying it was a football decision. So it has been addressed. The Eagles have explained it. And now we see what becomes of the wide receiver position. How do the Eagles replace the production, not only of DeSean Jackson, but Jason Avant released as well. So certainly, as Jeffrey Lurie termed it, a reconfiguration of the wide receiver position for the Eagles in 2014. Do they try to get bigger? What do they do? I mean, this is an offense that last year really, really did some good things. Franchise record number of points, franchise record in total yards, led the NFL in rushing, team record there, explosive plays, led the NFL. Great stuff. So where do the Eagles go from here? We will find out. Yesterday, the 18th annual playground build at the Prince Hall Elementary School in North Philadelphia, an absolute, unqualified, rousing success. And when you go there and you go into these neighborhoods, as I've done for 18 seasons, and you see the kids jumping around and you understand what a difference this day of service means, you know why you're here and what it's all about. So it was a great day, beautiful day out there, and fantastic job by everyone in the Eagles organization. Very important. The Eagles draft live coverage here. It begins May 5th on Monday. We're live at noon. We lead up to our complete coverage. We've got a great lineup for you. Merrill Reese will be in studio with me. Ike Reese, Ross Tucker, Tony Pauline, Greg Cosell. A lot of voices. We'll have live coverage as well from Radio City Music Hall in New York City. And also May 5th, we combine a little of the on-field conversation with some of the off-field, the cheerleaders and their final audition show live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and on our mobile app, 7:30. Make sure you tune in, watch 60 beautiful finalists compete for 38 spots on the squad. In just a bit here, Jeremy Maclin, Eagles wide receiver. He's healthy, he's ready to go, and he returns to the offseason conditioning program, and he joins us in studio right here. Let's go out to the playground build from yesterday. Had a chance to catch up with some players, talk a little football, what's going on in the locker room. And Riley Cooper, Eagles wide receiver, big offseason for him. A new deal and a big-time role in this Eagles offense.
You know, just kind of getting my legs back under me from the season. It's a long season, man, 17 weeks, not including the preseason. But I've just been doing, the regular, getting in and out of breaks, obviously working on your conditioning. You got to be fit to play this offense, and catch them. I mean, as a wideout, you better be able to catch. So those are probably the three or four things that I've really been kind of focusing on. It's a completely different feel this year. You can tell all the guys are pretty comfortable. We know all the lingo. So we've been going through this, last week. We've had offensive meetings. And we're just touching up on things rather than learning a whole new system. We know the lingo. We know what's going on. So that's huge.
We grow as a team throughout the season. So I think it was good for us to, get in the playoffs and, have a taste of it and to see how sour that taste was not being able to finish. So now coming into this year, everybody knows what we're capable of doing, and being in the system for a second year, I think it really gives us a comfort level, and we're able to progress a lot faster this year.
There have been a lot of changes to the locker room. I mean, that's the way it is. How do you view the changes from a sense of how it changes chemistry in the locker room?
We still have great chemistry in the locker room. The thing about the change in the locker room, we brought in good, quality guys who just fit right in. The guys, where everybody's able to get along well, hang out together. And it's just good guys that we brought in. And some of the guys I know, bringing in another Texan player and bringing guys that I played with before. You know, we just got some really good people in the locker room.
We want to finish. That's what I took. You know, last year I felt like it ended too soon. You know, I felt like I could have did some things better to keep us in better situations. And basically, you know, in this league, anything could happen any given day. And you know, basically what I'm learning is, you know, not to buy into the ebbs and flows of the game. You know, just keeping a level headed, keeping a level head and understanding that's how the game goes and that's the nature of the game. And just coming out on top is what we want to do. So,
all right, there you go. That's the scene yesterday at the 18th annual Eagles Playground Build in North Philadelphia. Again, great job by everybody. I know that the people in that neighborhood and the kids, the parents, the teachers, the administrators all appreciate the Eagles, as usual, spending a day in the community and everyone using some time, some effort, a little elbow grease to make things better for kids. When we return to Eagles Live, we go behind enemy lines. We will focus on the Carolina Panthers. Surprise team in 2013. What are they looking like in 2014? And we also welcome your phone calls, 215-339-6709. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro, and we're coming right back.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming in here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro here in the Xfinity studio at the NovaCare Complex. Busy time for everyone as we get ready for the 2014 NFL Draft. I don't know how you feel about it, but I guess my body clock was telling me that the draft was going to be taking place this past weekend. Instead, we wait another full week. And now they're talking about making it a four-day event. It just can't get here fast enough. Schedule release last week, the draft next week, in between. We've got a lot to talk about. The Eagles addressing DeSean Jackson and Jason Avant and all the moves they've made in the offseason yesterday. You can play all that right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the press pass with Chip Kelly, with Jeffrey Lurie, and with Howie Rosen. And we take a look at the teams upcoming in 2014. The Carolina Panthers winning the NFC South last year. A lot of changes to that roster in the offseason. Chris McPherson talking Carolina Panthers behind enemy lines.
Thanks, Dave. In today's edition of Behind Enemy Lines, we welcome David Newton, who covers the Carolina Panthers for ESPN.com. David, you recently had some time where you're able to meet one-on-one with quarterback Cam Newton. Where is he mentally after his amazing season where he led the Panthers to the NFC South Division title and a 12-win season?
He's in a really good place, and they've just exercised his fifth-year option. He's happy about that. He wants to be a part of this community long-term, and not only a part of this organization, but just a part of kind of giving back to the community and be a big part of that. But he's really likes what's going on right now. He likes the new receivers he has. He feels good that the ankle, when it's fully healed, is going to make him, I guess the word he used was scary, just how good he could be when he gets back from that. Thinking about the fact that since he's been at Auburn, his ankle has bothered him, and look at what he's accomplished with that ankle bothering him, to think what he can do when he's completely healed and the ligaments are all good, it could be scary what he could do.
Talk about Cam Newton can't put too much pressure on himself, but do you think that he might have to do so next season because of all the changes along the offensive line and all the changes at receiver as well?
I don't think so. I mean, they were kind of the same situation last year. I mean, Steve Smith hasn't been a number one receiver for a couple of years. So the fact that he's not going to have a number one receiver is really not that big of a deal. If a team doesn't believe they really have to have one, they're more interested in having guys that they can kind of plug in and make the possession type catches and just kind of make the offense, because they want to run the ball. And they feel like that on the offensive line, they have some potential there. A couple of guys that are going to be back playing guard positions this year are players that they expected to play there last year, but they were injured in training camp and they had to make some moves to bring other people in. So other than really replacing left tackle Jordan Gross on the line, they feel fairly comfortable about that. And I don't think Cam's feeling that pressure now. I think he's beyond that. He did say he had to take more control of the offense or more ownership of the offense. But by that, I don't think he meant he had to do more. I think he meant he just had to have a better understanding and feel for doing exactly what they want him to do. And again, it's more of a system they want him to adopt to, not being Cam Newton running out there and freelancing and then just trying to make things happen on his own.
David, we're very familiar with Sean McDermott from his time here in Philadelphia, former defensive coordinator. What has been the key to his success in revitalizing that Panthers defensive unit?
Well, he's been able to keep, for the most part, a steady group of that front seven intact. I mean, adding Luke Kuechly a couple of years ago, that was huge. I mean, he was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year this year. I mean, he was a tackling machine, as his nickname goes. Getting Star Lotulelei this year gave him somebody to really anchor the inside of the defensive front. And he had some good talent already there with Greg Hardy and Charles Johnson on the end. So it's really been, again, kind of like the system I talked about, the offense. They have a good understanding of what they want to do now. They've had those players in place, so they've kind of got a good grasp of what's going on, and they've kind of bought into what McDermott wants to do, and it's really worked out well. That's why, you know, even though they have some holes in the secondary, they're really not concerned about that, because they had holes in the secondary going into last season. And, you know, who heard of Mike Mitchell really going into last year? And he played almost all-star caliber last season. So they feel like that with the front seven intact and with the new guys they brought in to play in the secondary, that they can kind of pick up where they left off last year, where they had the second-ranked defense.
David, last question for you. I'm going to put you in Dave Gettleman's shoes for a moment here. With the 28th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, where do you see the Panthers going?
Well, I mean, if everybody says, and I kind of agree, that offensive line or offensive tackle and wide receiver are the two most logical places to go. But Gettleman keeps saying, you know, I'm going to take the best player available. Again, if that's a tackle or a wide receiver, I think he'll do that. But, heck, if one of the top cornerbacks were to fall to him at 28, kind of like Lotulelei they did last year at tackle, where he fell all the way to 14, and, you know, a lot of people had him rated number the 1, 2, or 3 early before he had some medical issues. I think they would look at taking a cornerback or even a defensive end with Greg Hardy not officially nailed down for a long-term deal because they had to put the franchise tag on him. So, again, it's they'll take the best player available, but I think it'll be a tackle right now.
David Newton covers the Carolina Panthers for ESPN.com. Thank you very much for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All right, thanks very much, Chris. Thank you for your time, David. Let's get to some phone calls now as we look toward the draft. And Henry in Tampa wants to talk about the draft. Henry, good afternoon to you. How are you?
All right. How are you doing on this Eagles day?
Doing great, Henry. What's up?
I think the Eagles are going to do good in the draft this year like they usually do, and I think we're going to make the playoffs this year.
I love the optimism, Henry. Thank you so much for the phone call. Good stuff. 215-339-6709. What do you want in the draft when it opens on May 8th? A lot of chatter about wide receivers, defensive backs, pass rusher, what's going to be available at 22. Can the Eagles move up from 22 into a more advantageous position to get that impact player? Who might slide down? All these rumors this week about Johnny Football being available at 22. I think Chip Kelly pretty much squashed those rumors yesterday. Certainly a great player, and boy, he would have been great at Oregon. He was great at Texas A&M, but Eagles feel like they've got a very good situation at the quarterback position. Terrell in Delaware joins us. Hi, Terrell.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm stoked that the draft is fast approaching. I actually don't see us taking a wide receiver in the first round. I would rather go with our back end on defense, either safety or cornerback. I believe
I agree that there's a lot of depth. Thanks for the phone call. There is a lot of depth at the wide receiver position. I think right now, though, I mean, I don't know. When I look at the cornerback spot, there's no cornerback in this draft that is looking like he jumps out at me as a star. And I think the Eagles like Kerry Williams, and they like Bradley Fletcher, and they like Nolan Carroll, and they like Brandon Boykin. And you better get something that's clearly better than that if you're going to take him at 22. Pass rusher, safety, is there that impact player there? I don't want to reach for a – I guess I'm going to say what everybody else – take best player on the board. I don't know what the board looks like up there. You know, generally they group it in fivesomes or foursomes, and so you see where you are when it's your turn to pick. Who's still available on your board when it's your turn to pick? Will it be defense? Will it be offense? I don't have any sense at all who it will be. I do not know. But we're going to talk to Tony Pauline about that. DraftInsider.net joins us here in studio, and he'll be live with us in just a little bit. 215-339-6709 if you'd like to call. Talk a little bit about the Eagles as they are currently constructed. And on the other side, after this break, we're going to get into some draft conversation. And we're going to talk wide receivers. Tony Pauline, DraftInsider.net, joins us in studio on the other side here on Eagles Live.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
Together we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
It all begins on May 8th. The NFL draft comes your way, and we'll have the coverage for you, every bit of it, right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and on our official Eagles app. I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by DraftInsider.net's Tony Pauline, our draft insider. He's been with us throughout the offseason, will be with us through the draft, and I can't wait for it to get here. I know the people upstairs can't wait for it to get here. What is happening around draft rooms in the NFL?
I think what's happening is they're going through final checks. I mean, they're checking out the players. They're going through some background checks. They're rewatching some film. I think this two-week delay really does not bode well with teams, because it's a sort of a situation where it's almost paralysis by overanalysis. You know, they go through the process. They got these extra 2 weeks. And it's a situation, I think Bruce Arians tweeted yesterday, where by the time the draft comes, they're not going to like any of these players, because they're going to watch and they're going to pick holes in guys' game and manufacture problems that may not be there because of the extra time.
Tony, do you have a sense of any players who might be rising up the boards or conversely sliding out maybe till late in the first round?
Biggest riser right now is Mike Evans, the receiver from Texas A&M, who the Philadelphia Eagles reportedly like. I mean, he's a big target. He's a competitive guy. He plays like a big receiver, 6'6". He's a guy who a lot of people thought would be top 10 pick, fringe top 10 pick. He's moved into the top five. The Oakland Raiders at number five could select him, possibly the Cleveland Browns. I mean, the funny thing is, or the ironic thing is 4 months ago, 3 months ago, if you said that Mike Evans could be selected before Johnny Manziel, people would have said you're crazy. But right now, it looks like Mike Evans can be selected before Manziel.
It wasn't that long ago when I'm going to try to compare this to a similar situation years ago. Darius Hayward Bay, Jeremy Maclin, top 10 pick. Would the Raiders take Bay? Would they take Maclin? Everybody kind of thought it would be Maclin. They took Bay. And the Eagles eventually moved up and were able to acquire Jeremy Maclin. Now, if Evans is moving up, does that mean Sammy Watkins moves down? Does that mean potentially a wide receiver slips out of that top 10?
I don't know that Sam Watson is going to slide out of top 10, but what I think is, and I reported 3 weeks ago, is the spread amongst teams between Watkins and Evans is not that great. In fact, a lot of teams have Evans rated higher than Watkins. As someone told me, you can't coach 6'6", which is what Mike Evans is, and he plays like a fluid 6'6". Watkins is a good receiver. He's just not a special talent. So I think he may slip further than people think, but he's not going to slide, I don't think, out of the top six selections.
All right, so we're staying on the wide receiver theme here. It's a popular one in Philadelphia. You've got Watkins. You've got Evans at the top. Then you've got Cooks. You've got Lee. You've got that whole group. How much of a separation is there between the top two and the next tier?
Pretty significant. I think when you look at Mike Evans, when you look at Brandon, Sammy Watkins, those are guys that are expected to be number one receivers at the next level. Brandon Cooks, I think, is more of a number two, maybe a number one in the right system. Mark Healy, a number two receiver. Those guys, I think they'll contribute as rookies, but I don't know that they're going to be number one. Brandon Cooks, you see him here, just explosive in the open field, the ability to make defenders miss, picks up a lot of yardage after the catch. Definitely a Chip Kelly type of guy, very basically can score from any point in the field. Under 5'10", but plays big, will sacrifice his body to make the reception. Confident guy. You get him out in the open field. Not only good as a receiver, you can run reverses with him. You can use him as a return specialist. Knows the game. Catches the ball with his hands, as you see right there. Very good, but I think he's more of a number two as compared to Evans and Watkins, who are number one.
And Lee, where's Lee fit into that? Is he still in a similar category as Cooks?
I definitely think so. I think he's a mid-first round pick. The thing about Marquis Lee is, you know, before the season, a lot of people, including myself, thought he was a top 10 potential. Had a knee injury last year, kind of really suffered, did not run that well in the postseason. But the fact is, you get him back to full health. He's great running after the catch, as you see here. Keeps the play in bounds, sets up his blocks, uses them to pick up extra yardage. Just a dynamic receiver, a guy that's got dependable hands. We'll play with a couple of different quarterbacks at USC, Matt Barkley, and then Barkley got hurt, and they put a couple other guys in. Really was seamless in the transition, very natural in all his ability.
Well, I think, Tony, it's fair to say we will be talking about wide receiver a lot between now and May 8th, and then May 8th to May 10th. Obviously, the Eagles in a little interesting situation at the wide receiver position. We'll check in with you, Tony. Thanks so much for coming by the studio today. Tony Pauline, draftinsider.net. He'll be with us throughout our draft coverage right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
We welcome you inside the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by Eagles wide receiver Jeremy Maclin, who is on the recovery trail, feeling great, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, tell me, what does great mean?
They told me if training camp were to start tomorrow, then I would be fully cleared.
Is that right?
So I feel good, man. Yeah. I feel good. You know, right now is a process where they can kind of monitor the, you know, the number of reps and stuff that I get once we start that up. But I feel really good.
It's amazing that how the process has changed over the years for the ACL. I mean, 20 years ago it would have been a career threatening injury, right?
Absolutely.
Now it's 7-8 months and guys are back and rolling. Is it harder physically or mentally to get back?
Well, the one thing that they say is that right about, you know, 11 and a half months, 12 months, you start feeling like your old self.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I feel great right now. But, you know, the good thing, I mean, if there's any good thing about me tearing my ACL last year is that I did it before the season even started, second day of training camp. So by the time training camp runs around, no issues whatsoever. So I'm just excited. And, I really am happy to be where I am right now.
How did you feel you were picking up the offense prior to, from a, just a level of comfort prior to the injury?
Before I got hurt, I knew every position on the field.
Yeah.
You know, as far as you know what guys are supposed to do on each play. So, you know, that's picking up things has always kind of been easy for me. So, you know, from that aspect, I don't think that that's going to be a problem at all.
And then you watch it and you see. You must be salivating at the chances here. You see receivers running open, and the Eagles lead the league in rushing, lead the league in explosive plays, franchise record number of points, franchise record number of yards gained, and now you get to go back and have some of that fun.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited to be in this position, and you know, I'm gonna do everything they ask me to do, man, to help this team win, and that's kind of, you know, what I want to be known for. So
I have this kind of dark image the day you were injured. And you went through all the tests and so forth. And then I remember seeing you leave the building, go to your car, kind of hobbling, you know, on the crutches. And I was like, boy, that it must be a very difficult moment for an athlete to come to that realization that, boy, this could be a very serious injury. Take me back to that moment and how you overcame all that.
Well, you know, there was, you know, many thoughts going through my head, you know, especially – you know, it was a unique, you know, situation that I was in as far as it being, you know, kind of my contract year and, you know, being in a new system. And obviously, you know, you see Chip Kelly offense in college and, you know, you're really excited about, you know, what it could possibly do in the NFL and just all those things, man. So when I got hurt, you know, you start thinking questions like, why me? You know, what did I do to do, you know, deserve this? And but then, you know, you got to understand that everything happens for a reason. And no, I think there's a reason why it happened last year. You know, I can't go back and change it. You know, I can only continue to move forward. And I think, I think I'm in the best position I can be right now. So I think that's all I can ask for.
You look like you're beastly. I mean, did you really hit the weight room?
I'm like 205.
And change? Yeah.
Yeah.
So which before the injury you were where?
About 200.
Okay. And so where'd you put the weight on in the guns? I see the gun show is
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I've gotten pretty, you know, a little stronger and everything. So. But I think I'll still play it around 202. So.
Jeremy, let's talk about this offense, how you fit in. I mean, what do you envision for 2014 here?
I think a little bit of everything. I think, like I said before, I'm a guy that can kind of move around and you know, put in different positions to be successful. So, and I think I'll play outside. I think I'll play inside. You know, I think I'll do a little bit of everything. So I'm just really, really excited about, you know, kind of what they have in store for me.
And you and Riley pairing, how do you feel about that combination?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know, I think in this league, you know, to be successful, you need two guys. And I think you got two guys in me and Riley. And I think we, you know, we got other guys who can step in and be successful as well. So I think we'll be, you know, just, you know, pick up right where we left off. So
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Nick Foles last year, 27 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions, 2 more touchdowns in the playoffs. Great development in year 2. Your thoughts on Nick in year number 3?
It's funny that you say that because I remember going back to Nick's rookie year and, you know, my agent and my marketing team called me and asked me, hey, how do you feel about Nick Foles? And my exact words were, I said, he can play.
Mm-hmm.
So to see him make that step next year, is going to be, you know, a fun thing to watch. Yeah, you know, the 2 interceptions is probably going to be hard to repeat that. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's something that, that's rarely done. But I think as far as, you know, him getting better and understanding the game better and, you know, being more of a leader and helping this team win, I think is going to be, you know, a fun thing to watch. So.
Did you at all, and I don't mean to be overly dramatic here, but I'm going to be, did you ever lay there and just kind of, you know, dream and vision and just have a vision of what it's going to be like to get back on the field and just the even if in a practice situation?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, this is something that I love doing. You know, I'm still young. You know, my excitement for the game is still there. And it's something I've worked for ever since I was 9 years old. You know, I started playing football when I was 9. So, you know, to not be able to do that, you know, was definitely something that was hard for me. But, you know, I got, you know, the right supporting cast around me, you know, the right guys here in this organization to kind of help me push through that. And, you know, my spirits are high right now. And I think that's, you know, why I attacked the rehab the way I did.
So. You've been asked about it, so let's ask you about it again. Changes at the wide receiver position, Jason Avant, Deshaun Jackson, both released. How does the locker room dynamic change? How do players react to that stuff?
I don't think the dynamics change too much. I think with Jason, you know, you lose a guy who people respected as far as the way he worked and, you know, the things that he stood for. And I think with Deshaun, you use a guy who can make plays on the field. And, I mean, that's the obvious thing there. But I think no, with the type of guys that we have, I think we still got guys that can be explosive, guys still that can make plays. You know, Nick going to his third year, you know, Hurts going to his second year, you know, guys like that who are going to step up and make plays. I think this offense is still going to be a sight to see, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, me getting in there and me throwing my little wrench in there as well. So I think we'll be just fine.
And the idea of leadership overblown in the media, talking about how do you replace leaders who leave 1 year before, you know, after they've been there for many years.
Those guys that step up,
always step up,
always,
yeah,
step up and lead. You know, so I don't, you know, like I said, Jason's work ethic is highly respected amongst guys in the locker room. But I think it's up to, you know, guys like myself, who I'm now the second most experienced receiver in the room now, to step up and work like that and teach the younger guys that, hey, this is how it's done at this level.
Jacksonville week one, Indianapolis national television week two. Look at you're licking your chops, just like all Eagles fans out there,
looking
ready to go.
To it,
hey, Jeremy, congratulations on signing, returning back to Philadelphia, and on getting back to 100%. Glad to hear that.
Appreciate it, man.
That is music to everyone's ears. Jeremy Maclin in the studio here, ready to go in 2014. We thank him for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. Guaranteed, with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Well, make sure you check it out on Monday, May 5th at 7:30. The cheerleaders have their final audition show, and we broadcast that for you live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com on our mobile app. 60 beautiful finalists will be narrowed down to 38. Make sure you tune in and take a look. All right, we take a phone call here. Let's go to Durrell in Philadelphia here, who joins us on Eagles Live. Hi, Durrell.
Hi.
Hi. What's up?
I was wondering, that I found out that Deshaun Jackson got traded and they got rid of Michael Vick.
Hey, thanks for the call and thanks for tuning in. He didn't get traded. Deshaun Jackson was released, and the Eagles talked about that yesterday. Michael Vick was released. Jason Avant was released. Several players were not signed back. This is the natural order of things in the NFL. Rosters change. So I'm not sure what the point of that was with Durrell. I mean, you know, isn't the real story what will the Eagles do to replace the production provided by Jackson? and Avant? How do they get the offense at an even faster pace, at a more efficient level than last year? Record-setting season for the Eagles offensively, but in the playoff game, largely ineffective through the first half. In fact, the Eagles were down big, and then the offense got it in gear. So Chip Kelly knows what he's doing. Everybody believes in Chip and his offensive vision. So I can't wait to see what happens in the draft and beyond. All right, we thank you for joining us today. Tomorrow's show includes Zach Ertz, who will be a huge part of the offense next season, the second-year tight end, and Ralph Vacchiano from the New York Daily News talking the New York Giants as we go behind enemy lines and check in on one of the NFC East's greatest rivals. I'm Dave Spitero. We thank you for joining us today on Eagles Live. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.